God never said that. How many of you were here last week? What did we talk about God never said last week? 12 people remembered. Praise God. No wonder we're moving like lightning around here. No, God never said money is the root of all evil. He never said that. So we talked about that last week. Now, moving forward, remember this series is all about dealing with some of the ideas that people say that God said. You know, like for example, they say that, you know, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I don't even know what Jonah was swallowed by. It was a fish. I mean, we say whale because that's the biggest thing we know, but, you know, nevertheless. How many of you know Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, did they eat an apple? The Bible doesn't say it was a what? It was simply a fruit. It was a fruit. How many wise men were there? Three. No. Watch this. People say there were three wise men. Actually, no. We don't know how many. The Bible says they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So people assume that there were three. Maybe it was two. We know it was more than one, but it could have been 50. We don't know. We don't know. People say three. My point is simply this. The people say God said. You know, God said. And they will attach it to something. You know what God said? You know, God said everything happens for a reason. Did God say that? God say that. You know what God said? You know, God said so-and-so died because, you know, God needed another star in heaven. God never said, how about God took that person home because God needed another angel in heaven. Okay, let me explain. Humans are humans. Angels are angels. God never said that. And there are all these things that people say God said that really create a muddy, muddy, murky water if you're trying to grow your faith. It really does. And oftentimes these cliches, these things that people say, really get in the way of us growing our faith. That's the bottom line. So today we're dealing with one of those. You're going to love this one. We're going to deal with this one because I've heard people say this over and over again. Over and over again. Now, before I go there, I got a little story about it, as usual. You ready? A few years back, Michelle, some folks told me I needed to watch this movie. They say, we know you're a rags-to-riches kind of guy when it comes to movies, and you like movies when it comes to those kind of things, and so you need to go get this movie. I said, okay, tell me the movie. They're like, oh, it's a great movie. So Michelle goes, she rents the movie, she brings it home. That was the biggest waste of 2 hours of my life. Say, how did I get there? Well, let me explain this movie. By the time I get to the end, you'll probably recognize it, but it was a Will Smith movie, his movie that he was in. And in this movie, you know, he plays this guy that really is a pauper. He's a guy that's poor, he's broke, he's out on his luck, and he doesn't have anything, and he doesn't have anything, and then he has his kid, and they don't have anything, and then it's one train wreck after another, and he's living out of trash cans, basically, and it is one train wreck after another, and the whole movie goes on, and all through the movie, about a half hour into it, I'm like, surely this is going to change at some point. Everybody told me I needed to see this movie. I'm watching this movie thinking, this ain't a Charlie kind of movie. Because let me explain a Charlie Riley kind of movie. Charlie Riley kind of movie, there's a good guy, Rocky. There's a bad guy, Dolph Lundgren, the Russian. The good guy wins. The bad guy dies or gets beat bad. And then at the end, everybody's happy. That's a Charlie Riley kind of movie, right? So after 2 hours of watching this, get this. At the 2 hours of watching this, what the moral of the story is, after 2 hours of the show, there's a blip on the screen that has writing on it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to a movie, I want to be entertained. Reading is work. I'm not here to read. I'm here to sit here, eat popcorn, drink something, and be entertained. Now you're going to make me read, and that's work, and that's annoying. Add it into the idea that I've sat here for 2 hours about this terrible guy's life, and then you blip on the screen saying, and in the end, he becomes a multimillionaire and is set for the rest of his life. So what? You could have extended that movie about 15 minutes, showed the brother on a yacht, flying a jet, all the people that made fun of him, him firing them. Come on, and can I get a witness in the house of God? And then I would have said, now there's a movie. Anybody know what movie I'm talking about? Pursuit of. If you haven't seen it, I told you everything about it. You really need to know. You don't want to go waste your time on that. All right? It was, in my world, now you may think, Pastor Charlie, I'm not a movie guy like you. I like that movie. If you like that movie, good. You like reading and long shows about broke people. Okay, let me translate that. Charlie, no. I like happy movies where bad guys die, good guys win. I've told you guys this, I'll say it again. I have a strong sense of justice in me. As long as everybody gets justice in the end, I'm happy. Come on, am I right? I was like, pursuit of what? This is pursuit of miserable. That's what I called that show. Stupid. So anybody that ever told me to watch that after that, I said, I've seen it. That is a terrible movie. But nevertheless, the principle of the movie is the pursuit of what? Happiness. Come on, everybody say happiness. Happiness is a funny thing, especially when you begin to connect God to it. Because people have this idea that happiness, well, happiness is like the end-all means of everything. That everything in your life is based upon happiness. So they come up with this theology and they come up with this idea that God said this certain thing. And here's what it is. God wants me. Yeah, this is where we're going today. Memorial Day weekend. God wants you happy. How many of you know God never said that? Y'all know that? Now, understand what I am saying. Let me explain. The Bible talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength, about happiness is a part of our life. Happiness oftentimes is centered around happenings, and God wants happy things to happen in your life. So please don't misunderstand. God is not anti-happy. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? God's not anti-happy. Okay, but when you begin to translate this way, all God wants for me in my life is to be happy, you will end up in a very, very dangerous place. When the end all of everything in your life is, I need to be happy, I'm telling you, it's a train wreck. I've met with people who've been married for years, and they say, Pastor Charlie, I don't want this lady. I want this lady. Why? This one don't make me happy no more. I want to be happy. And after all, God said, God wants us happy. And then I have to go, time out. God never said that. God never said, God wants you happy. Listen to this. God wants you to live a life that brings happy things into your life and happenings into your life that fulfill your life. But the sum goal of everything is God wants you to be happy. He never said that. He never said that. He's not anti-happy, but every decision in your life can't be based upon the idea of God wants us happy. I mean, think about it. Think about if you raised your kids this way. Right? At 2 years old, they don't want to obey. And you say, that's all right, baby. Break everything that grandma has. It's okay. God wants you happy. Come on, how many of you know that ain't flying? Oh, it may fly with you, but it ain't flying at grandma's. Right? Right? Why? Because this builds a mentality in people. Can you see that same 2 year old at 40? Walking into the electric company. I don't want to pay my bills. Why? It makes me unhappy. I'm not doing it. Come on, how many of you do things each and every day of your life that it don't make you happy? But it's necessary. Come on, it's necessary. It's necessary. See, whenever we get the wrong idea of what happiness is really all about, we end up in a wrong place. Have you ever seen kids that have been raised by those parents that think all that matters is they're happy? What are they? They are gremlins. Gremlins. You feed them after midnight, they will wreck your place, man. Gremlins. That's what they are. See, get this. When we begin to go down this path of happiness is everything, and nothing else matters except happiness, we end up with this idea. Whatever makes me happy must be right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, whatever makes me happy must be right. That right is determined by not what God says and not by what is proven to be right, but rather what makes me happy. What makes me happy? Our whole culture is infiltrated with this. I can love anybody. Why? Because it makes me happy. I can be anything I want. Why? Because it makes me happy. I can be a rock. I can be it. I can do it. I can be. Why? Happy. I can have any car I want. Matter of fact, I deserve any car I want. Why? It makes me happy. You didn't deserve it. Why? You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. Come on, am I right? Happiness is not the end all of everything. Because in turn, get this, if we say whatever makes me happy must be right, then we have to conclude this, that whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. Some of the greatest things this Memorial Day weekend, I think, you know, when I went to basic training, they did not care about happy. They didn't care about your happiness. That didn't have anything to do with it. They were, watch this, they were trying to take you from point A to point B. They were trying to get you to do certain things their way. And because of that, they knew that your happiness, watch this, is subservient to our plan and our purpose. And I'm here to tell you, I believe that God has that same mentality about your happiness. That your happiness is cool. And it isn't that God wants you unhappy. How many of you want your kids to be happy? Right? Yeah. I want my kids to be happy. Of course I want my kids to be happy. But how many of you know, if they act a fool and have conniption fits, y'all know what I don't even know what conniption fit is, but I'm sure we've had several. All right? And they have these things. How many of you know their happiness at that point is not the goal? So when it comes to our relationship with God, we have to understand that, yeah, of course God wants you happy, but happy is not the destination. Yeah, happiness is not the destination. Why? Because whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. There are a lot of things that you probably do each and every day of your life that you don't really like doing. How many of you like getting up early? How many of you like going to work? Huh? We had a kid in the first service, he was 6 years old, raised his hand. And I thought, boy, that is a beautiful illustration. Nobody else except the six-year-old. He doesn't mind going to work. Yeah, he ain't got a job. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? Come on, there are things that we do each and every day. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Oftentimes, most of the time, the things that really we find the most unhappiest can become the most fulfilling things in our lives. It didn't make me happy to go get out of the military and go to Bible college 3 nights a week with 2 young kids and sacrifice all that we had to do to go to school and study after 10 o'clock till about 1 or 2 every night for Bible college. That didn't make me happy. Right? But how many of you know it was necessary? Yeah, it was necessary. So we can't live our lives based upon the idea of whatever makes me happy is right and whatever is unhappy is wrong. Because if you do, you're going to end up in a train wreck of a life, and many people have wrecked their lives because of this opinion. Check this out, because here's what you end up with. You end up with this idea: discomfort, delay, risk, suffering, inconvenience, and any obstacle could not be the will of God. That's what you end up with. You end up with an idea of any form of discomfort is not the will of God. For example, if you've never, I remember the first time I came to a church where they lifted their hands during praise and worship. I remember that. I remember walking in and everybody's, we lift our hands. I'm like, y'all do. We wasn't me. Come on, am I right? And because to me it was uncomfortable. Now understand why we lift our hands. Everybody, let's lift up your hands right here. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. All right, you can put them down. You know what that is? That is a universal sign of surrender. It means that in every language. Right? Right? Yeah? Ask the French. Okay, I'm bad. It's Memorial Day weekend. I can take a jab like that. You know why French tanks have review mirrors? So they can see the battlefield. Anyway, okay, I'm moving on. I gotta get off of that. Okay, if you're French, sorry, you're French. Here's the truth. You ready? Well, the truth is we're becoming more like that. Anyway, discomfort. How many of you know a lot of things happen in your life that discomfort you, but that doesn't necessarily mean it isn't God. For example, whenever I first started going to a church that lifted their hands, it was uncomfortable for me. I went in phases. Phase one. Phase two. Phase three. Phase four. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now, the reason we do that is, honestly, when we worship and we lift our hands, we're telling God, Lord, I surrender. I reach out to you. You're my everything. You're my all. And I will assure you of this. The first time I ever started doing that, I thought everybody was staring at me. Look, he's the one. He's raising his hands today. Today, he's the one. He's everybody else doing it, but he's not doing it. But today, he is. So he is something. Nobody cares what you're doing with your hands. I wanted more of God, so I wanted more of him to, I wanted more of myself to surrender to him. Was it uncomfortable? Absolutely. The first time I ever spoke in tongues. You speak in tongues? Yes, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? And my eyes are not glazed over, and I am from earth. All right? Was it uncomfortable? Yeah. Was it something I had never done? Yeah, that's why it was uncomfortable. That's why. Listen to this. If you're going to have something from God you've never had before, you're going to have to do something uncomfortable. First time I ever preached a funeral, they invited me to preach this funeral. I bawled like a baby. They felt sorry for me, and homegirl died. Oh, it was a guy. He died. He died. And they're like, oh, poor pastor. I wasn't a pastor at that time. I was just an evangelist preaching. But the point is this. You know, I was uncomfortable up there. I was so uncomfortable. I had butterflies, couldn't eat all day. And I was like, yeah, sorry, y'all. Did I humiliate myself? Yeah, pretty much so. Yeah, I did. Was I uncomfortable? For sure. Hey, but was God trying to grow me? Come on, you know it's true. He was trying to grow me. He was trying to mature me. He was trying to take me a place from here to here. He was trying to get me to grow my faith and move. And sometimes you've got to experience things and you've got to be in places that are uncomfortable. First time I ever prayed out loud was uncomfortable, but it was God. First time I ever prayed for someone to be healed, I was more worried about how I said it than if God did it. See, it was uncomfortable. Obstacles. My goodness, if we believe that every obstacle is God's way of stopping us, we'll never receive anything. Because here's the truth. The enemy wants to stop you from pursuing everything that God has for you. And he's going to put obstacles in your way. He will. But guess what God will do? God will move the obstacles right up out of the way. Right out of the way. Right out of the way. He will move the obstacles. First time, this was back, I was working at a body shop, and I knew God had called me to preach. I'm not even in Bible college yet, y'all. Show you how crazy I am. I'm not even in Bible college yet, all right? I got one of those realtor books. I'm flipping through. I find this church for sale in Kokomo. I'm like, church for sale, cool. I'm calling the realtor. I call the realtor. I showed up in my beat up Chevy Blazer. She showed up in a Mercedes. I'm like, hi. She's like, hi. I'm there in my body shop. Jeans, worn out jeans and a t-shirt. She shows me the whole building. She was very nice, very friendly. I was like, hey, this is awesome. She goes, so we get to the end, you know, and they want to talk business kind of. And I ain't got no business. And she said, so are you a pastor? I said, nah, not yet. You should, every time I'd answer a question, her eyes got bigger. Because next thing she said, she goes, well, do you have a congregation? Nope. She goes, so you don't have no congregation and you're not a pastor? I said, no. How many of you know the conversation took a funny, odd turn at that point? You say, well, was you uncomfortable? Hey, listen, here's the truth. You ready? I'd rather be a fool for God and grow my faith than anything else. You hear what I'm saying? My point is, was I uncomfortable? Yeah. Did I feel silly? Yeah. Did I know God was doing something in my heart? Yes. If I would have allowed being happy and comfortable to run my life, I would never be where I'm at today. And I'm not saying I've arrived. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying simply is this, that if you will only move in the place that you're comfortable, and if you will only do things that make you happy, you will never grow your faith and you will never move and progress in God. How many of y'all believe that today? Praise God. That's true. Check this out. Look at this right here. Discomfort, delay. Look at this. Without knowing it, we begin to worship the false gods of comfort, money, pleasure, and things. When we make the goal of, I want to be happy, our God. That's what we do. We make it our God. Now, let me just assure you, how many of you know God has no problem with you being comfortable unless it gets in his way of you growing? How many of you know God has no problem with you having money? Matter of fact, as your pastor, I pray you have more. Come on, am I right? Yeah. All right? Hey, listen, God has no problem with you having pleasure and pleasure in things. God has no problem with those things. As long as those things don't get in the way of him growing you, he ain't got no problem with it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I love things. I love pleasure. I love fishing. Most of you know that. I got a bass boat. And I tell you, a couple years ago, I felt like the Lord had spoke to my heart not to bass fish this whole summer. This was 3 years ago, whatever it was. All right? Not this year. But I really felt that coming into the spring, I just felt like the Lord said, you know what? You need to lay that aside this year. And you know what I did? I didn't even register my boat. Didn't even register it. It sat for a whole year. Sat for a whole year. I didn't fish, didn't get a bait out, didn't do nothing. I think I went fishing twice, and that was with a buddy. I went fishing twice, I think. Not in my boat, just went fishing, fun, go fish. All right? But I didn't fish, you know, competitive or anything like that for the whole year. I didn't do it. But listen, you say, did that make you happy? Come on, it didn't make me happy. But was it necessary? Say, why? I'll be honest with you, I don't know why. I just know what I felt in my heart God wanted me to do. God said, lay that aside and focus in on this. And that's exactly what I did. I laid that aside and I focused in on him. And it was cool. It was great. The next year, I didn't feel that. So I went and got my boat registered and I started fishing again. No big deal. I think God was just trying to say, will you lay certain things aside if I ask you to? I think that was the whole deal. I think God was just simply saying, will you lay it aside if I ask you to? And my response to that is, yes, Lord. If you ask me to, my happiness is not the biggest issue. Watch this. My heart for you is the biggest thing. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Check this out. Look at this. We don't want to become those kind of people that only worship the gods of comfort, money, pleasure, and things. If we do, we'll end up in a train wreck. Train wreck. See, there is a truth in this, that God doesn't want you happy sometimes. Let me give you two examples of when God doesn't want you happy. God doesn't want you happy, get this, when it comes to you, it causes you, check this out, when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. Using the example of marriage, how many of you know There are days when you look at your spouse and you're like, man, you're awesome. I love you. Then there are days where it's like, wow. Come on, I've been married 21 years and I love being married, so please don't misread that any other way. If you've been married 21 years, you know what I'm saying. All right? There are days where Michelle looks at me and goes, can you just go anywhere? See, maybe you don't know this, but I like to talk. And maybe you don't know this about my wife. She doesn't necessarily have to talk. All right? So there are times where she'll look at me and like, just go somewhere. Go do something. Come on. Okay, maybe you ain't with me today, but that's all right. Hey, listen. When it causes you to do something wrong or unwise, though, that's when your happiness is not a part of the equation. If it causes you to say, oh, my wife isn't speaking to me today, so therefore I want to be happy, so therefore I'm going to go pick up that little 20-something thing. Thang. 20-something thang. How many of you know your happiness will lead you astray? Your pursuit of happiness will lead you in the wrong path. Come on, you know I'm right. Because your happiness really is subservient to the plan and purpose of God, or it should be. Yeah. See, when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise, God's not worried about your happiness. I remember whenever I was coaching baseball for Michael, we were in the championship game at the end of the year, final game, we were the underdogs. They were going to win the championship probably. And it came down to the last inning, which we were in extended innings. We were at the end and they hit a run. And when they hit a run in, the person on third, the kid on third went from third to home. And the rule at that level was if they go past halfway, there's a halfway mark. If they go past halfway, when the ball hits the center of the field, the pitcher, they have to go back if it's there. But if they progress beyond halfway between third and home, the runner's allowed to advance and score the run. Okay, when the ball hits the catcher's hand or the pitcher's hand in the center of the field. And there was some argument as to whether the kid made it past halfway past. Some argument about it. A couple of my parents felt like, no, there's no way that kid made it halfway. The ump called it as if he had passed. So they scored the final run and that was the end of the game. All right? I was all right with it. You know, I was like, hey, listen, you know, they beat us. That's just the way it goes sometimes. You know what I mean? Because I knew next year we were going to come back and whip up. But anyway, I had the young team. So get this. So at the end of that, we're in there, and we have to come out and slap hands and say good game. Well, my son decides that it was much better off to call them cheaters and sit on the bench and refuse to come out. How many of you know his happiness at that point was not our main objective? Right? I'm coaching the team, so I got the whole team out there. Well, my mother-in-law, bless her heart, she felt like it was necessary to teach my son a lesson. So she went in the dugout after my son. He came out. He slapped everybody's hand. He eventually made it to the car where we talked about his happiness. Come on, how many of you hear what I'm saying? When your happiness causes you to do something unwise, you're not following God, you're going to end up in a train wreck, man. You're going to end up in a train wreck. I've met too many people that will say, well, I bought this even though I couldn't afford it because it made me happy. Things were not made to make you happy. They were meant to be enjoyed with the presence of God in it. Yeah. Not everything that happens in your life is meant to make you happy. Some things were meant to grow you and to mature you. Let me tell you another thing that I think people oftentimes make a mistake thinking when it comes to this. When it comes, your happiness is only based on the world and what the world has. So for example, when it comes only based on things of this world, when the only way you can get happy is by having new things that this world has to offer. I got a verse for you. You ready? It's 1 John. Here's what it says, 2:15. It says this: do not love the world or the things of the world. Now, it doesn't say that you can't have things in the world. It doesn't mean you don't like those things. But how many of you know, when it comes to me loving my wife, my children, and God, things are very low on the totem pole there, right? It says, do not love those. For anyone who loves the world or the things of the world, love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this what? World. If you look at commercials that are on TV, it's all about lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I could be somebody if I drive this. I could have some. I could be happy. And every one of the commercials are simply saying, you could be happy if you fill in the blank. And I'm here to tell you that you can go get fill in the blank and you still won't be happy. You still won't be. Why? Because happiness is based upon happenings, while joy is based on the presence of God in your heart. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory no matter the happenings in my life. No matter. Things are up, I got joy. Things are down, I got joy. No matter what, I got joy. Joy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It keeps me strong by staying in joy. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to let happiness be the end. Right? Because sometimes God's doing things in my life and it isn't making me happy, but it is God. Come on, say amen to that. Amen. So I was thinking about this. How many of you play euchre? Maybe you play euchre? Sinners. You should know by now not to raise your hand at this church. I'm going to get you. All right. It's kind of like whenever we did the iTunes series. How many of you heard that song and you guys, and it was like Led Zeppelin or something. You're like, sinners. But anyway, check this out. If you've ever played euchre, and those of you that haven't played euchre, I don't know why, because that's an Indiana sport. You have to play in Indiana. All right. But euchre is one of those games where you have what's called a trump card. And it's one of the jacks. You got a left and a right bar. And the jacks are the trump cards. Basically, here's the bottom line. The jacks are the highest cards on the table. They beat everything else, you know? And they trump everything. Well, I believe with all my heart that there is a trump card when it comes to happy. I believe that God has a better purpose for things than just you being happy. And it's really a simple word. And it's called simply the word blessed. See, most people are searching for happy whenever the Word of God tells us that we should seek to be blessed by God. Blessed. So, for example, we got Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, I believe it is. Here's what it says. Listen to this. It says, blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in what? Heavenly places. See, happiness has an equation to it. Are you ready for this? Happiness has this equation to it. Let me get it for you. You ready? Here it is. Look at this. Better possessions plus peaceful circumstances plus thrilling experiences plus right relationships equals a perfect appearance, or I'm sorry, plus a perfect appearance equals happiness. Now, how many of you know you're never going to have all at the same time better possessions, right? I don't know about your house, but we always got something that's breaking, right? I got a gutter broke right now. Peaceful circumstances. How about this? Thrilling experiences. How about this? Right relationships. You know you always got somebody acting crazy. How many of you believe that you always got somebody acting crazy? Raise your hand. Now raise your hand for real. Raise your hand. All right, now I want you to look around who doesn't have their hands up. Okay, because if you know somebody that's crazy and the person beside you doesn't have their hand up, they might be the one. They might be the crazy one we're talking about. But check this out. In perfect appearance, come on, some of us passed that a long time ago. Right? Not me. I'm just saying. It's possible. Equals happiness. That's the world's equation. That's how most people equate it. When God says, no, 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 no. That's not good enough for you as a child of God. What's good enough for you is being blessed. Being blessed. Because I want to seek out the blessing on my life more than I am concerned about being happy. See, there are things that God will put us in and situations God puts us in that we don't necessarily feel happy about, but we know that there's a blessing attached to it. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? When I went to Bible college, I didn't feel happy. Everything that happened there wasn't happy, but how many of you know there was a blessing there, right? Whenever we bought this facility and renovated it for 3 months, it wasn't all happy time. But how many of you know it was a blessing that we were after, right? Well, I believe there are trump cards in your spiritual walk, and I'm going to give them to you real quick here. I got 4 of them. There are probably more, but these are the 4 that I believe when it comes to your happiness and blessing, these outweigh what you feel as far as happy. So if you're taking notes, you can write these down. Number 1, your giving. 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 Say, Pastor, you're talking about money? No, I'm actually not. I'll talk about money first, and then we'll talk about what I'm really talking about. Obviously, the Bible teaches us this, that it's more, oh, that's interesting. Fell over. It says, it's more blessed to, I'll give you the verse. Look here at Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Look at this. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you should support the weak. And remember the words that the Lord Jesus said when he said this. It is more blessed to give than to what?
Receive.
Receive. Listen to this. When it comes to your money, when we first, Michelle and I first started tithing, I can assure you that our conversation about tithing wasn't happy at the beginning. We didn't start tithing and giving to the Lord because we were so happy. How many of you know it was a stretch at first? It was a stretch. But we did it because we know that even though we're not happy, we know that there's blessing. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? If you'll only do what makes you happy, you'll never do anything. But if you'll do what brings blessing, you'll move yourself beyond happy. And you'll move into blessing. Move into blessing. See, now let's go into it a little deeper. How many of you know it's good to give mercy? Give mercy. Mercy. How many believe it's good to give grace to people? Grace is unmerited favor. Give favor to people. Give favor. Most people's grace line ends right behind them. They want grace, but anybody after that? No. Come on, how many of you know that's not the way we should think? And how many of you know sometimes giving forgiveness doesn't make you happy? How many of you have ever been done wrong in your life? And how many of you ever forgave them? Did you get happy about it? At the moment, you're not happy. You're like, I'm going to forgive them because I got to. I'm going to forgive them because God says to. Watch this. What makes me happy is telling them off. That's what really makes me happy. What makes me happy is really give them a piece of my mind. Matter of fact, 2 pieces. Come on, that'll make me happy. But how many of you know, we're not going to live life centered around happy. We're going to live life centered around blessing. So I'm going to move myself beyond, and I'm going to be willing to give mercy. I'm going to give forgiveness. I'm going to give love. I'm going to give everything and everything I can. Because I know when I give, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, this, every time I act with a giving heart, I'm aligning myself in a place of blessing because the blessing is more important than my happiness. Come on, that's good, y'all. I hope you understand that's good. Because for years I had thought, man, how do you teach people to move beyond what just makes them feel happy? Because God's bigger than their happiness. And it's because of the blessing. If I can get you to focus in on the blessing, then you'll realize, okay, I want the blessing far greater than I just want to be happy. Come on, amen? All right, I'm moving on. Next one, you ready? Write this one down if you're taking notes. Here's one, growth. Your growth outweighs your happiness. Your spiritual growth outweighs your happiness. I think of it like this. Why do people come to church? There are a lot of reasons people come to church, seriously. But I can sum it up with two statements, two ideas. I think church exists for two reasons. Number one, to win the lost. Amen? If you're here today, you don't know Jesus, we're here for you, man. Right? Now check this out. That's one side. The other side is this, to grow people in their faith. We exist to grow people in their faith. That's why at our church, I might say something that offends you. I might say something that pokes you a little bit. I might do a series called God Never Said That, and it challenges what you've been told. Your growth is what I take personal. Man, I want you to grow. Because I know this, God has a life for you. God has a plan for your life. God wants to do big things in your life. And you can't get there just simply being patted and cooed all of your spiritual walk. My kids sometimes respond to, great job. Other times, get going. Come on, am I right? And I think there should be a little bit of that good job in church, but there also should be some of that, come on, let's get going, man. Let me push you, let me kick you, whatever. You've been saved 40 years, you can't forgive your wife, what is wrong? Come on, y'all hearing my heart? Hearing my heart? Some counseling appointments I have are very short. Very short. That was it right there. Oh, you fell out of love? Fall in. I don't know how to do that. Well, what did you do to fall in love? Talked about her all the time in a positive way. You bought her all kinds of stuff. You broke the bank for it. And you ignored your parents about marrying her. Okay, so here's what I would do. Tune out all the voices that tell you she's a bad wife and eliminate them. Buy her a bunch of stuff. Why? Because where your money goes, your heart follows. Come on, it's easy, man. It's easy. It's easy. See, but that don't make me happy. Right. Right. You're looking for the easy way when God wants you to grow. People are shocked when I tell them this. Why did you get married? Well, I got married to be happy. Hey, you're a miserable fool. What is wrong with you? You got married for the wrong reason, man. Happiness was not God's plan. God didn't say, here, Eve, Adam, we want you happy. That isn't part of the equation. Really, what God was doing is establishing balance to develop healthy families. That's what he was doing. You need the masculine and the feminine. We'll say that again. You need the masculine and the feminine to bring a healthy balance to healthy kids. That's what you need. That's what God was doing, right? That's what God was doing. For their growth, for their growth. That means there are times whenever I look at my daughter and she plays me like a fiddle. Michelle sees right through it. There are times whenever Mike's playing her like a fiddle and I see right through it. Come on, am I right? Yeah, absolutely. God knew what he was doing. But see, the purpose is growth. Growth. I remember back whenever I was at a church in Kokomo and I wasn't the pastor or anything, but they asked me to teach a Sunday school class. And I taught that Sunday school class. Whenever they introduced new people to the church, I was just starting Bible college. You know what they called me? They said, this is the wannabe preacher's class. How happy was I when they introduced my class that way? Come on, y'all know what I'm thinking? If you're not smelling what I'm cooking, it irritated the snot out of me. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to love him. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be all right with it. And it's all good, right? right? Why? Because God was growing. Because you know what God was really saying? If you can't handle somebody calling you a wannabe preacher, you are never going to be fit to carry a large church. No, because they're going to say a lot worse things about you than wannabe preacher. Be amazed at the things I've heard about me. The funniest one was I divorced Michelle and was moving north. Are you out of your mind? Not the divorce. I'm the moving north. That's a joke. I love my wife. You know, we did joke about it. We thought it was funny. Michelle even said, she goes, they don't know you, moving north. What an idiot. But do you see what I'm saying? Did it make me happy when they said that? No, but God was growing me. Growing me. I'll give you another one. Whenever I was there at that church, and they asked me to teach a Wednesday night Bible study. Wednesday night Bible study. And I taught that Bible study for 4 years. Now, let me tell you what happened. The first year and a half, I started it with four ladies. Four ladies would come every Wednesday night. After about a year and a half into this thing, guess how many people we had? Well, scratch that. After 4 years, guess how many people we had? Four ladies. It was booming. Booming, it was. After about a year and a half into that, though, of that teaching that Bible study, I got to the point where I was like, man, what's the use? What is the use? I mean, it's the same four chicks that show up. I tell them Bible stories, and we talk about the Word, and then we go home. And then about 2 years into that, I was like burnt out. I was like, Lord, I don't even know why I'm doing this. And the Lord said this. He said this to my heart. He said, it has nothing to do with them and everything to do with you. I mean, you know, that didn't make me happy. Happiness was not the plan. And it hit me. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? I feel called to plant a church and all this. How is it going to be if I only have four? Well, I serve. I got right back in there. I started studying my lessons out. I started preparing well. And I did that for another 2 years. And I was just faithful to it. I was faithful to it. I was committed to it. Because I realized that God was trying to grow me. God was trying to grow me. Did it make me happy to see the same four ladies every week? No. I mean, granted, I was thankful for the four, but please don't misunderstand. I wanted it to be 40. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? But it wasn't happening. Wasn't happening. I had four. Started with four, ended with four. In my world, that's fail. In God's world, he said, no, I'm doing something bigger in you. So when we started the church, the first service we ever had, I had two people show up. Seriously. I preached my heart out like I had 4,000. Seriously. Next week, guess how many people showed up? One. One. Now everybody laughs now because we got 750 people or whatever. Whatever. Hey, listen, when you go from two to one, guess what the next week is probably going to be? I mean, I can do math. Especially those numbers. And I thought, this is going to be a train. Next week, four people showed up. And I remember thinking in my heart, I promise you, I thought this. I said to myself, you know what? For 4 years, I preached to four ladies. If it takes me 4 years to get this church off of on the right path and growing, if I got four, I know I can do that for 4 years. I did it. And I tell you what, that mentality, I think, is what allowed us to do some of the things we've been able to do. That mentality of, no, I did it with four, I can do it, I can preach to four. And slowly and surely, the church just kept growing all these years. Just keep growing. And it's because I was willing to preach my heart out for four years. Just a couple of them come to our church here. Preach my heart out, 4 years, absolutely. Why? Because it was about me growing, not so much them. Even though they did, it was about me growing. So did it make me happy? No. But did I do it? Yes. Why? Because happiness is not my God. Watch this. Blessing is my God. The God that blesses. Not blessing is my God. I said that wrong. God is my God who blesses. And I'm after the blessing, not just my happiness. Come on, everybody get that? Amen. All right. Let me give you two more, four more. Five more. It's Labor Day. It's not, it's Memorial Day. Listen to this. Here's another one. What? So you guys are talking back. I don't know what you say. Here's the next one. You ready? I'm going to give you two more real quick, and then we got to get out of here. All right? Listen, this one is faithfulness. How many of you know that faithfulness is subservient to your happiness? It absolutely is. Being faithful. Jesus said this, be faithful in the little things, and you'll get more. See, unlike our entitlement mentality that most people have today, of I want more, so give me more because I deserve more. Jesus has a different mentality. Why don't you take what you have? Why don't you be faithful with it and do the right things with what you've been given? And then God will progressively promote you and you will have more the right way than the wrong way. Come on, y'all get that? Yeah. God wants you to be faithful, faithful. Just for example, whenever I was ministering for 4 years to four people, God wanted me to be faithful. Because faithfulness brings blessing. I've never met anyone who said this. Pastor Charlie, I'm called to the nursery because I love them little screaming, crying kids. Never met anybody. Not one person has ever made an appointment with me and said, Pastor Charlie, I mean, the poopier, the better, just bring it all. Nobody's ever said that to me. But listen, let me assure you of this. We couldn't do what we do down here without those ladies down there sacrificing their time and doing all that they do. Amen? And you know what? They're faithful. They're faithful. And you know what? Believe it or not, their sacrifice signs them up in God's eyes for blessing. They are blessed because they sacrifice and serve. Yeah. Yeah. God wants them blessed. And the way we get blessed is by doing the right things when we're supposed to. And that is being faithful. It's amazing to me that people will so look for a reason not to be faithful to the house of God. When you're faithful to work, I mean, do you guys realize that Jesus is counting on us to win the lost? He's counting on us to get people to heaven so they can spend eternity in heaven. He's counting on us. And you know what he's more counting on than anything? Us being faithful to do what we said we would do. If we're supposed to be serving in kids' ministry, we need to serve. If we're supposed to be greeting, we need to be greeting, right? Well, I forgot to call the church and tell them I wasn't going to be there. Well, you didn't forget to call your boss and tell them you wasn't going to be there. Did you? No. Why? It's about faithfulness. It's about being faithful to God. About being faithful. God wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful. Think about it. The Bible says that the story of the talents, he gave 1, 5, 1, 3, and 1, 1. And then he told the one that had 5, he said, you've done well. He goes, well, matter of fact, let me just bring up the verse and then I'll be done with it. Check this out. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can I tell you this? Check this out. I know of people in this church that are probably more gifted at speaking in front of people than I am. I know for sure in my spiritual journey, I've met people that are more gifted than I am. No doubt about it. More gifted than I am. But I also know people that are more gifted than I am that are not faithful. And because they're not faithful, they don't get blessed. And the blessing of God doesn't fall on it. If you will learn how to be faithful, it's amazing what God will do with it. Just be faithful, man. And I tell you the greatest thing about being faithful with God. You ready? It don't cost you nothing. All it takes is a heart condition of, Lord, I'm going to be faithful. You may start out with saying, I'm going to be faithful to attend church. You may have to start there. You may start with, okay, I'm going to be faithful to serve somewhere. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the church. It could be in the community. I'm going to sow into someone else's life. I'm going to be faithful in my giving. I'm going to be faithful to whatever. I promise you, God will bless your faithfulness. Y'all believe that? Absolutely. 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 I remember when we first started the church that I met a guy who, he was pastoring a church, and it didn't get off the ground. Didn't get off the ground. And he would call in to his church that he wasn't going to be there that Sunday. How many of you know I seen that coming, that place wasn't going nowhere? You can't call, you're the preacher. You got to go. You got to be faithful. If God called you to preach, go and preach every Sunday. If 2 show up, celebrate it. If 50 show up, celebrate. If 5,000 million people show up, I don't know how many of that is, celebrate it, praise God. You go and do what God has called you to do and you be faithful to it and God will honor it and God will bless it. Come on, amen? So my question is, what has God called you to do? Whatever he's called you to do, I don't have the answer there. Whatever he's called you to do, you find that place and you be faithful in it and you watch God's blessings fall on that thing. Amen, amen. Last one, you ready? Your relationship. Your relationship. That relationship trumps everything. Your relationship with God and your relationship with your spouse and your family trumps everything. Y'all believe that? How many of you know, with your spouse, you may not be happy, but it's the relationship you value. And because of that, it trumps your happiness. Right? All right? Y'all get that? Michelle wasn't worried Friday when I was supposed to be getting rock and I went fishing in the morning. Michelle wasn't concerned about my happiness when I got home. She didn't say, how many fish did you catch? She said, when you get in the rock. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Because, and how many of you know that didn't bother me? Because it's about our relationship. There's a higher thing. How many of you know if you're going to be in relationship with people, you can't allow happy to be the God. If you do, you're going to end up in a train wreck. You have to realize that, okay, whether I'm happy or unhappy, what really matters right here and right now is that the relationship is healthy and strong. Come on, amen? We'll stop right here. What matters with your relationship with God? Well, I'd serve God, but if I serve God, then I wouldn't be happy. Well, first of all, there's the first lie that the devil's telling you. I assure you of this. Serving God is so fulfilling and so awesome. Can't even say enough about that. But to think that God is against you being happy is wrong. But to think that I'm going to serve happy instead of God is also wrong. And the only thing that matters in your life is being happy. You'll never be happy. Never find fulfillment in those things. Because you're looking to things and all that, the world system, to be happy when only God can really do that in your heart. How many of you believe what I just said? Absolutely.